Thrill Me.
This show is part of the Thrill Me Podcast Network. Experience more on Facebook and YouTube.
Hey, what's going on? This is Thomas Nicholas. Welcome to the Metal Groove with your host, Tombstone, Josh.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into a brand new episode of the Metal Groove Podcast. You guys are locked into the Thrill Me Podcast Network. Welcome. Happy Metal Monday. I'm glad we're back on track because the band on today's show is metal as hell, and you're going to enjoy them. I promise you that. So stay tuned. Strap it in. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe while you're here and join us. Man, speaking of the Thrill Me Podcast Network, happy one-year anniversary to all of my brothers that are part of this network. They've all been doing a great job. I'm super proud and honored to be a part of it. And I just can't wait to see where we go from here, man. So shout out. Happy one-year anniversary once again. They had a big old party over the weekend, man. They did a live stream talking about their shows. They had a trivia competition for the Thrill Me Podcast Network Championship, which, spoiler alert. You know what? Never mind. I'm not going to spoil it. Go back, check it out, see who won that championship. It was a really good time. I enjoyed watching it. Shout out. Appreciate you guys. Thanks again to all my brothers, man. Hey. Let's go, man. We're killing it, man. Let's go, man. Let's see where we can take this thing. But I'm on the show today. I'm talking to Will from the band Past the Fall from Cambridge, UK. And they're good, man. They're really, really good. And you're going to see in the interview that he is a great guy as well. I really dig their sound. I hope you guys do as well. Stick around after the interview, though, because we're going to be playing the song Beholden from their album From Insanity's Ruin. I think it's a great example of the diversity that this band has. And you got to remember, this is a three-piece. But anyway, stick around for that. Make sure you check out their website. Make sure you check out their YouTube. Anywhere you can find their music, man. Go out there, support these guys because they're a great bunch of dudes. Let's jump to that interview right now.
All right, excited for the interview that I have for you guys on tap today because I am talking to a dude that's not only from across the pond, but he is part of a just amazing band that I have fallen in love with already. And the name of that guy is Will. The name of the band is Past the Fall from Cambridge, UK, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Pleasure awesome. To be here, man. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining me, man. This is going to be a great combo. Your band is so freaking good, dude. I can't wait.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. First things first, man. How you doing?
Yeah, pretty good, man. Yeah. Like, it's good. We did the first show of the year on last Saturday, which is good. Blow off the cobwebs because it's nice to get a break over Christmas and stuff. But like, I just love getting back to it, you know, and just.
Yeah.
Feel at home when I'm kind of screaming at people on a stage.
I got you. Yeah, that makes sense. That's cool, man. So why don't we start with you? Where did you get your start? Where did your musical journey take off? Like, when did you first get into what you're doing?
I guess with Past the Fall, the whole deal with Past the Fall is it's basically me and Tom. We're kind of like brothers. We met when we were high school, probably even, well, yeah, like when we were 11, although we didn't play in bands together. We're kind of like little guitar rivals, I guess.
Nice.
School. And we were like, and we used to jam and stuff together, like, you know, when we were 16, but we put Past the Fall together, like serious, probably started, I guess, like we did our first proper tour, like in 2015. And we like did an EP and sort of, still trying to find our sound in a lot of ways. We're still like kind of proto thrash, I guess, a bit proggy.
Okay.
Bit of stuff going on there, and we just kind of did a lot of touring. We did stuff in the UK, Europe, a little bit in the States, bits in Mexico, and just kind of learning from all the bands, finding our own sound, finding what we liked. And yeah, that's kind of what led to the record that you've heard, From Insanity's Ruin, which we stuck out in, I guess we finished recording in 2019, but you know, COVID came and, you know,
yeah,
yeah, kick the ass out of everything, really. So yeah, and then 2021 we kind of re-released. But yeah, I mean, that's the core of it, you know. We've had a few different drummers over the years, but like, yeah, I mean, the core of it's me and Tom, really. Yeah.
So let me tell you a couple things that blew me away about you guys already. From the little bit that I've dived into. So you guys are a three piece. To me, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Thinking of what's coming out, the sound that's coming from your music, it's like, this is three dudes doing this, and it's amazing, I think. So, first off. Second off, the album that I want to get to and talk about in a little bit, it sounds so good. It sounds so clean that it's almost hard to believe that it's a debut album. Like, it just, like, it sounds like it's a professional band that's been doing this for, gosh, 15 years. You know what I mean?
Thank, man, that's fucking, yeah, I'm really honored to, for you to say that, really. Like, we put a lot of work into it. We, it's all self-produced as well. Like, we made our own, that's kind of why we had a little bit of time in that kind of EP to doing the album, because we built a studio, learned how to use it, which turns out that takes a long, long fucking time.
Yeah, right.
But it's great. But it probably explains, you know, in part why that is, because, I mean, it was great because, like, we weren't on the clock. You know, we could just try stuff in the studio and try and be like, oh, yeah, what if we do two vocal parts? You know, we love Alice in Chains, you know, well, why don't we try these two things over?
I'm so glad that you said that. I like, whenever I was going to go through talking about the album, you guys remind me of three bands that just got smudged together. And I guess I'll go ahead and say it now, but Alice in Chains is one of them. Sick. Yeah, the vocal harmonies, the kind of haunting guitar riff and kind of ambiance that you guys have going on. I was like, that's Alice in Chains, 100%. Yeah, I also hear a little bit of Megadeth in there, just like some of the thrash that you guys have going on. I hear some of that. And the third band, I don't know if you've ever heard of them, because they're more of a, they're not even a big band here, but there's a band called Bludgeon.
No, I don't know them, no.
They're a really good hardcore band that still has elements of guitar solos, which was another thing I appreciated with your guys' sound.
Oh, cool, man. Yeah. I mean, because it's interesting, like the hardcore thing. I mean, I really like hardcore. I never think, sometimes I think musically we never show it in the riffs, but I really like it in the attitude. You know, it's that kind of like it's the punk and the lyrical attitude that I really love in hardcore music. You know, don't get me wrong. It's like, I mean, the kind of Dungeons and Dragons thing's kind of cool if you're into that. I'm not knocking it. It's loads. There's like, you know, I love my Maiden as much as the next guy. But for us, like, it's all about, well, what the fuck's actually going on in our lives, you know, what's actually happening, you know? So yeah, that's kind of cool. You hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great, man. Yeah. It was one of the first, like, I guess maybe it took me off guard because I wasn't expecting it. Cause like when you read it, you see the, what is the, there's like some keywords whenever you go to your guys' website, it's like melodic, metalcore, groove metal. I wasn't expecting the vocal harmonies that I got. So it was like a pleasant surprise. Yeah. Yeah, here we go.
Oh, cheers, man. Yeah, I mean, that's the bit we really love. Like, I mean, I just, especially being a three-piece, we're like just trying to just use everything we can to try and just, I mean, we're always trying to serve the song, but at the same time, you want to, got to try and, everybody's got to be on it and try and maximize everything we got, you know? So like, obviously I play bass and sing, Tom's playing bass, you know, playing guitar and singing, and then we're doing the two harmonies. And as well, it's great because I think you can, I mean, I think of a lot of like my favorite bands, you know, like, I know they're not a three piece, but in a way, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, but they kind of are a three piece, like someone like Sabbath or something. Cause it's the bass, drum and guitar, you know, it's just, it's not a two guitar thing. And to me, they're like got a fucking huge sound. So I think it's kind of, actually, I think it's been quite liberating in some ways because like two guitar bands, sometimes you've got to like really pocket, you know, the other guitar in, but like having a three piece actually gives you, ironically, like more space to like kind of spread out and be like, oh, well, we can have a fat sound or try some kind of more wilder things out.
That's cool, man. Yeah, that's great. I'm glad that you brought up influences because whenever I first was asking the question of the musical journey, I'm glad you dove into where the band started. But how about you? When did you say you first started playing your instrument?
Oh, me personally, like, do you know what? I probably started getting in like, you know, I lost my musical cherry probably like when I was 11, I guess. I always think there's like a watershed moment with everybody, right? Where you can like music and you can be a kid like dancing to the disco or whatever, like when you're 7 or something. But there's like a kind of moment where it's like losing your virginity, right? There's that moment when suddenly music is just like, whoa, this is, you know, it's like, this is it. And, you know, and it's like, I think everybody has that watershed moment. And for me, it was like, it's probably 11. And I think it was just, I think it was listening to like indie music probably started getting me into it, like Pixies and and like Radiohead and stuff like that. But I just really quickly, I just love guitar and guitar music. And then I remember I had a guitar teacher. I maybe started playing guitar when I was like 11, probably the same sort of time actually. And like, then I had guitar lessons and he was great because he would just feed me like just stone cold classic albums. Like he, God bless him, actually. So, and it was really eclectic as well. Like, he gave me like Rust in Peace, and he's like, listen to this. this will fucking blow your mind. But then he'd like, one day you'd be like, oh, come and look at this. And it was like a VHS of Stevie Ray Vaughan, like a live show. I was like, oh, you know, he's like, that's sick. You give me a Sister Sledge album. He's like, listen to this funk stuff. And then you get, he gave me Rage Against the Machine. And
wow.
So just feeding all these things. So like, I'm really lucky that I had a, like, a, you know, a kind of mentor almost like feeding me these, like, you know, this is the shit. Get your fix.
What's more impressive about that is that it's different genres too. So no wonder your musical writing is kind of a different mix, is because of all those influences you had coming in. You started with guitar. Is that what you said?
I started as a guitarist and I still play a bit now, but it's just like, you know, I just jammed metal covers for like fun, or like play the blues or something. And I guess like both of us, actually, we just started off being just into music, and it's kind of like by default we're metalheads, because it just so happens that we just like a lot of fucking metal. So it's but like for sure I think I just like always into just good music, you know, like I think that's always been there. Like, in fact, we were talking about the other day how, like, when we started playing, I guess it wasn't because we listened to metal that we're like, now we want to play guitar. It's more like, I think we like music, we like guitar. So we'd be like, oh, you know, whatever. Yeah, Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, blah, blah, blah. You know, we just digest all that stuff. And then we're like, whoa, metal, fucking cool. And then like, listen to more and more and stuff, you know. And then, and that's cool. You know, I've got all that history of Tom as well. I mean, I've got like, showing my age a little bit, you know, but I've got one foot in either side, whereas like, I remember like tape trading, you know, like at school. And all that stuff, you know, and like listen to the late night rock shows and stuff and queue up all the latest metal tracks, and then you could go into school the next day and then trade it and stuff like that. So and that was kind of way back then. And then and it's just, so even taking it forward to the stuff we've done now, we just figure it just makes sense to us. Like, I guess, you know, the Alice in Chainsy thing just feels right, you know. And like, and then at the same time, we just, you know, but then we like a really fat riff as well, you know, so that feels really right. And Tom's a total wizard, so it's like, oh, that's so cool, you know, to put that in as well. And
I dig that. So I like to ask this anytime I talk to a fellow musician, just to kind of gauge where your start was, where everything, the catalyst of your music, where it started from. Do you remember the first song that you learned? Like, for example, it's not currently what I play now, but I remember my dad putting Appetite for Destruction in my hand, and I'm a drummer. The first song I wanted to learn was Night Train. I mean, that cowbell.
Yes. Yeah,
that was
the
first song I wanted to learn to play.
And that step up with the bass guitar is so fucking fat. Yeah, man. I mean, I could tell you, actually, like, because it was just so fucking frustrating. I think the first song I tried to learn was Come As You Are, probably.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, it's meant to, well, it's fucking hard for me back then, because you could just, I remember, like, my dad had a classical guitar he, like, never played, that was, like, stashed under his bed. And as a little kid, I'd go and, you know, get it out and look at it and stuff. And then, but then when I got into music, I think... yeah, did somebody show me, or I found a tab or something? Yeah, anyway, and that was probably my first thing I was trying to do on guitar, is just to go duh, duh, duh. And I think I probably did that bit like about 50 times. I was like, duh, 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 fuck. Duh, 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 fuck. I can remember that,
That's cool, man. Yeah, it's always fun to revisit where you first, you know, whenever you first pick up. I just remember as a kid having butter knives in my hands beating on the side of a couch.
And then
it's kind of growing from there, but that's cool, man. All right, so let's talk about this album. This album is so good, and I have so many questions about it. I just want to say, right off the rip, the kind of creepy interludes, like the first song going into the second song, and then I think it's song track 5 and track 6, the breaks in there. Did you do that because it sounds cool? Is there some reasoning, like the door creaking open? Was there a reason behind that?
Yeah, there was like, it's funny you should mention it. Yeah, because I mean, Maurice is about Tom's dad. He's no longer with us. And I guess like we felt like when we wrote the song, it's kind of got a bit of a spiritual vibe with that intro riff, you know, it's quite spacious. And it kind of, when we play it, you know, because obviously it's quite personal, it's got that feeling of just trying to sit back and just kind of let the world in, you know, especially when you're sort of thinking about those sort of things. And it's got a bit of a spiritual vibe. So I always felt like wanted something on the intro, but I don't know. I mean, for people that haven't heard it, I guess, is somebody walking in, opening a door, and then putting an old record on. And it just felt like that kind of symbolism of being in like a lonely house, you know, sometimes when it's a bit derelict or something, it has that kind of otherworldly thing, like something that's gone by, you know, a life that's been lived, but like is, you can feel it in the walls, even like the place is old and dilapidated, and doesn't have any life anymore. And then you open another door, and then in some way you can put on a record and it can just transport you to another place. And it just felt like that sat with like what the theme of the song, you know.
Wow, that's awesome, man. Wow, that's cool. That's great, man. I love that symbolism there. That's great, man. I'll probably say my favorite song from the album is Epitaph.
Oh, cool. Really? Sweet, man.
It might be because I'm a drummer and all the heavy drumming in the intro and then the stuff throughout the song. It's really, really good. I do like that one. The video that you guys had for, what is it, Beholden? Is that the video I saw on the website? That's a really, really great song as well, man. Tell me and my friends here about how putting that album together and the track listing, how you decided what you guys wanted to do, maybe break down per song, how you put it together.
Yeah, sure. Like, I mean, we definitely have put a lot of thought into it. I mean, it's funny because like, obviously releasing probably now these days a little bit more into a single format because of the way of streaming stuff. But for sure, we definitely wanted to make an album, and because we're kind of old school in that sense, like wanted to take you on a journey. So it's really important how everything's placed. So, you know, right off the bat, when you go in, you've got Drainer. So it's just trying to smash that brutality in, you know, and you kind of got that real sort of kind of creepy dystopian kind of like sound effect thing. It's not very long, but it comes out of, you know, quite a grand intro. So we just wanted something that just rips you right into it. You know, it's like, just grab you by the balls and like, just get you straight into it. And then, and that's why it flows into Epitaph, where it's like, you know, quote unquote, it's probably more one of our like poppier songs, if that could be such a thing. But it felt like it was quite balanced, you know, it's got a lot of light and dark verse chorus kind of feel. So, you know, after like something that's quite relentless and quite, I don't know, maybe even borderline sort of deathy kind of metal, it was nice to get Epitaph in there and just kind of have that balance. And then where do we go with that? And then, again, Poison Mirror, which is like one of my favorites, because it's
that song is so interesting, by the way. The drastic change that you guys have throughout that song is really, really cool, man. I love that one too.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I kind of like it because it's weird, you know. It's like the more I play it, it's you know what I mean? It's like, I think if people hear it, they know what I mean. It's like, it's still you know, it's not like we've got, you know, didgeridoos or bongos out or anything. It's just like probably in the way that it's quite dystopian. It's kind of makes us sort of weird, almost like because, you know, it's got spoken word bits, but they're kind of like a circus announcer, you know, like a kind of like traveling salesman, you know, thing, you know, a P.T. Barnum kind of style thing, like over these kind of big distorted soundscapes. It's a kind of weird one. And I thought it's like, you know, by that point, we've had a bit of, you know, the intensity kind of wound it down into something that's more anthemic. I think you can start to kind of open up the freakiness a little bit, go and sort of like paint a picture with something like Poison Mirror. Where do we go from there? So like, and then it's...
Seldom Reason, which is the relax.
Exactly. So then you've got like, it just... So after all that kind of this, you've kind of got a flavor of everything. You kind of, it's got a lot of darkness, kind of all got wound up. So Seldom Reason was nice because it's just, like you say, it's time to relax. It's sort of chilled. It's more of like a kind of, I guess like almost like a heavy rock song, I guess, in some ways. And so it's nice, you know, I just feel like it's a kind of nice midway point where like, oh, this sits really well here. And then that obviously just cues up Above the Negative, which is just, you know, it's kind of, for us anyway, it's kind of like a straight ahead thrash as you can kind of get, really. And still trying to, the layered harmony thing at the end, again, that sort of Alice in Chains thing coming in as well. But yeah, that's kind of probably our, you know, it's quick to write, pretty straight ahead, you know, and hence why it just sits right after Seldom, because like, bang, just smash straight into it, you know.
And I, like I said before earlier, I love the door opening in between those two songs. It's just like, they're two different worlds, like you were explaining earlier, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
It fits perfectly.
Oh, wicked, man. Thanks, man. Yeah. Because, because you're like kind of opening the door and you're going into like Full Circle, which is a little bit more, you know, it's got like themes of like depression and loneliness and, Because again, that's a kind of weird one where I feel like we've sort of got our little grunge flag flying without realizing, you know.
And then
you got Morris, which I was talking about before, and then Beholden, which I guess is the one is the single we pushed the most, because I think it, like, in some ways, I always think if you wanted to explain our band to somebody in one song, it's pretty much got a little bit of everything. It's probably like the best balanced, you know, but, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, it's just my opinion. But so that's why we just wanted to put it at the end, just cap it off, you know. And then we have like kind of a sort of a, what would you call it? Like a reprise, I guess, of the intro, but it's more of a full featured song.
Yeah.
And it's just basically, it's like, it's the chill out smoke after all the after all the action, you know, to kind of round it off. Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautifully put together, man. I've been talking to you for a couple months now. I've been listening to it on and off, you know, and it's something I always want to go back to, and it's really good, man. So props.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I really appreciate that. You kind of never know like how it's going to go over, because in some ways we're like, shit, what the fuck do we how do you market this? You know, it's like let's go bits of this, and so yeah, it really means a lot. Yeah, people are digging it, and yeah, you got something out of it.
Another thing I want to do is towards the end of the show I want to play the song Beholden, and then what I'll do is I'll put a link for the video so people can go watch the video, because the video is awesome as well. But I was actually listening to that today while I'm at work. I'm driving on a military campus that we have here in Charleston. I had the window down because I was looking for one of these damn buildings that's always hard to find. And a lot of these soldiers were walking by as I was listening to it, and they're meatheads, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were like, holy shit, what is that? You know, so I was able
get the fuck out of there. Wicked.
I was able to share, you know, and I was like, oh, yeah,
sick, man. Yeah. Oh, man, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, so a couple questions I had before we dive into maybe wrapping this bad boy up. Past the Fall, I'll tell you what I think the name of the band means, because there's two. I mean, I'm sure that you can have a lot of reasons or maybe a lot of meanings behind that name, but Past the Fall, maybe I think that like you had something in your life happen to you where you fell and now you're picking yourself back up and you're past that fall now. So that was the first thought that came to mind for me. The second one was kind of like a not serious one, but maybe the album was written in the wintertime. So you were past the fall season and now you're into the winter season. So why don't you tell me a little bit about the name of the band?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, spot on with the first one. That's 100%. Yeah. Because obviously, like, yeah, in the UK, fall is like falling over rather than autumn. But it's kind of nice. I always figured, like, it still kind of works, I think, is even, you know, past the autumn, you think of, like, the autumn is kind of the death of summer, you know? It's like the death of all the new life, you know, and things beginning again. But, you know, 100%, it was like we'd been in both. Both me and Tom had been pretty serious bands. We'd been through some like personal issues together as well. Like, you know, we're kind of like brothers. So we've fallen out pretty bad, you know, over the years and stuff, but like, it's all cool now, you know, and in a way, like the band and coming together and doing it, it was like burying all that stuff, you know, all the shit that fucked up and all the bands that imploded and, you know, all the, you know, all the fallings out and stuff. We're just kind of burying all that. And yeah, just going past the fall, you know, just starting. Yeah, so that's, yeah, spot on the money.
Right on, man. Cool, I dig that. So, what would you say is next for you guys? Is there another album that's in the works? Are you guys just going to tour? What's on tap for you?
Yeah, so kind of like this year's going to be, because like last year we were just getting consolidated again, getting out of COVID, so we just doing shows, a couple of festival appearances and stuff. So we kind of clocked up at like, I don't know, 22 shows or something, all UK based. But then this year we've got some more festival stuff, some European festival things coming in, some possible international tour stuff at the end of the year. But kind of balancing that out. Yeah.
Come over here, man.
Yeah, fucking right. I can't wait to get back out there. I think last time in the States was, oh shit, man. It was probably like 2018, I think, 2017, 2018. So we're itching. So that's kind of going, but that's kind of getting counterbalanced. We'll probably end up doing total, maybe less shows, because we're working on new material now. We've got a new song.
Great.
Which will be pretty imminent, actually. We're like, just because we're going to release a string of singles this year. Just to give us a bit of continuity so we can sort of like have our cake and eat it, you know, so we can still not compromise the touring and getting out and playing, because we just love that. And also at the same time, you know, we've got plenty of ideas, so we can just put them together in singles. But yeah, that should drop in like, oh, I don't know, like 2 months, I think. Yeah, we're tracking it at the moment. Yeah, so.
Wow, that's awesome, man. Awesome. Good luck with that. I can't wait to hear it, man. Hey, if you want to send me some sneak peeks.
I'm hell yeah. That. Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about, I always end the show with some random questions. The first one I want to ask you is, I'm super appreciative of this, by the way, you coming on here, but probably the thing that blew my mind the most is that you reached out to me. How did you hear about my show, man?
So like, do you know what? Like, I have totally come from the punk, well, DIY ethic. So I literally just bust my ass every day, just chasing. I realized, like, basically, I think metal's all about community and just finding out what the hell's going on the ground level. Yes. Because, I mean, it was cool when you're a kid and stuff, you know, all this big stuff, but, like, you know, that shit's kind of locked off, you know, and it's, and the thing is, like, the real fun stuff is, like, what people like you are doing, local promoters are doing, local bands are doing, and that's open, and it's like we're all a network. So, anyway, yeah, long story short, I end up I don't think there's any shortcuts. So I just spent a lot of the day I just like trawling through all the podcasts, like trawling through all like the little local bands, like trawling through all the local venues, finding all the festivals and stuff, because it's just cool to try and, because there's some real gems, there's some real quality, you know, that's why I reached out to you, you know, and there's some real people like doing fucking really good work, like supporting local metal. Cool. And the thing is like, metal would be dead if it was, you know, without people like you doing the things that you're doing. It's like, man, metal would be fucking dead. So yeah, that's what it's really at for me. So yeah.
Hey man, that means a lot to me, man. That's awesome, man. Thank you so much for saying that. I've made friends with some of the people that I reached out to and talked to on this show. So I mean, that's probably like that's the best part of it. Not only learning about these awesome bands but making friends too. I think it's awesome. You're right, man. Metal's all about community, man. So.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, hell yeah.
All right, sweet. So what's the best band you've ever seen live?
Oh, shit the bed. Probably, I mean, best band or best show. I mean, I saw, there's probably like a top three. I mean, probably one that sticks out. So my top three, because it's hard to choose, but I mean, I had one of my best nights I've ever had was Diamond Head supporting Megadeth.
Oh, wow.
Rock City. I just spent the whole night crowd surfing, because it's a small little venue actually, Nottingham Rock City. And then seeing the original Black Sabbath lineup in 2001. Yeah, that was sick, just because that was like, I was pretty young, I think it was at an Ozfest, and it's like, as a kid, before you realize like, oh, these bands have got old gear, so you don't realize, you know, and then when you go, anyway, I should say, like, and then you go see them now and they've got new amps and loads of distortion. You're like, oh my God, it's like, it's heavier than the fucking universe. and you kind of get it then, that it's about the music, you know, not about the gear. And then what else? Probably one of my, do you know what, actually, I was just listening to it again today because I hadn't touched in ages, but I saw Alice in Chains on Black Gives Way to Blue tour.
Okay.
Brixton Academy. Yeah. That was really fucking good. Yeah.
Is that near you? Is Brixton Academy near you?
It used to be. Yeah, I used to live in London for like about 10 years. So like, South London, you could get there. Yeah, I mean, with London, it takes like 2 hours to cross the city anyway. But like, yeah, I was in like Northwest London, spent a lot of time in like West London, Soho area. So that's great. Yeah, there's loads of little cool metal bars stuff. Yeah, going on, man.
All right. Yeah. If anybody that knows anything about me, the first thing that's going to come to mind for me with Brixton is Steel Panther, because they did a live show there where they did
I don't know if you're
familiar with them or if you even like them, but that is a fun concert to watch, man.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I saw them at the Roundhouse in Camden, which is that kind of West London. That was fucking great. We all got dressed up. I remember just being absolutely out of my mind on cider. Fucking great. I mean, because Steel Panther, I just think is fucking great fun. And really good live. I was really blown away, man. I was like,
yes.
Like, and I didn't realize they do all the cameos as well. Like he did like a stint as Ozzy.
Uh-huh.
And I did Crazy Train and stuff. And I was like, oh, man, this is wicked. Yeah, yeah. That's such a blast.
I go see them, man. They're a good time.
Yeah, 100%.
All right. So if you could tour with any band, who would you want that to be?
Oh, probably Mastodon, you know?
What? Yeah. Nice. Good call.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, because I like, sometimes I can feel a bit curmudgeonly about like new big metal bands, as in, you know, what's the state of like, because, you know,
it's tough.
Yeah. And I don't know whether sometimes it's just being stuck in the past or just like, or whatever. But what I will say is like, Mastodon for me still kind of turned me on. Like every time they put a record out, I'm like, yeah, that's fucking cool. Because they keep change, because they evolve and they change and like, I think it's still got loads to offer. So yeah, that'd be sick. Yeah, that'd be totally cool to like tour with them. Oh, yeah.
Awesome. That's good. I'm glad that you brought them up, because I mean, you're right. There's not that many nowadays. There's not that many that, I mean, at least over here, there's not that many that's like, oh yeah, that's the one I'm writing with. You know what I mean? It's just not that band anymore. Which, but hey, it is what it is. Another thing I wanted to shout out you, or maybe something we could do for each other. Just, you tell me about some of the awesome bands I might not know of from over there. And then I'll send you some as well, man. Maybe we can just we'll keep that going.
Yeah.
That, that bridges off the next question I had for you is why is rock music and metal music over there so damn good?
Like, oh, you reckon?
What is it about over there that just makes it so awesome?
Oh fuck! I mean, what, like in the local scene or just like in historically or like?
It's historically. It's bands I've stumbled across. I don't know if you've heard of White Tiger. I mean, Enforcer. I've talked to those guys.
Yeah.
They're fucking good, man. It just seems like anybody I normally get to talk to, they end up being really good. Like what's in the water over there is what I'm saying.
Oh fuck yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's the shit weather. Maybe we're just like spending all day indoors just playing guitar. It's fucking shit outside. Maybe it's too sunny. We'd be like, we have a joke. It's just like, you know, sometimes that's why you don't hear too much Spanish mail, because it's like life's good. You're just on a beach. You're just on the beach, man.
Yeah, that's a true story.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, like, I guess, I kind of thought maybe it's like better in the States sometimes, just because, like, you know, I think. Well, I kind of really believe in this, the cultural exchange, like, you know, the ping pong.
Yeah,
the metal ping pong that's been happening like between the States and the UK, and I know you've got like Finnish metal and the Swedish melodic metal thing happening now, but like I think historically, you know, it's kind of like if you look at it historically, you had like rhythm and blues, you know, from the South and stuff, and it maybe didn't find the such a winning audience in the 50s. So then that came over, you know, and that played in London and stuff. And then you got, you know, little kids and stuff like Jimmy Page and, you know, the Stones and stuff, see that stuff. And they basically ripped it off and then just kind of like sold it back to America. So then, but then America, you know, then they got that. And then you got things like Aerosmith, which I fucking love, you know, and then, so then again, that's another generation. Then you got the big arena rock and they come back over, and we got the new wave of British heavy metal. Then that went back over, and then you got Threat, and it's like, bop, 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 bop. It's like some like international pong, you know.
That's
and
cool.
Yeah, so
yeah, that I think makes, it's like a, I guess it's just whenever I think of what I guess it's a me thing, because whenever I discover like, oh, past the fall, holy shit, this band's awesome. And then over here we have like Five Finger Death Punch, which is to me not, you know what I mean? It's not the it's not what I'm looking for. But that's I think it's current metal over here right now, and it's just not
yeah, it's not really my cup of tea. I mean, I don't want to knock other bands, but like I guess maybe we're just weird and we're like, don't mind letting our freak flag fly too much.
right on cool, man. So if you weren't into music, what do you think you'd be doing?
Oh fuck, I'd probably be dead, probably. Yeah, probably.
Wow,
yeah, that's the classic one. But it's true, actually, like, because I come from a kind of buttfuck nowhere town, and like especially when I was growing up, there's just nothing going on, and we didn't really have the internet or anything like that. And so just about like 56k or something, but like you're fucked, you know, basically, if I did a lot of it as well, but you would just party, you know, or just fucking take lots of drugs. I'd probably be dead in the bottom of a ditch. I mean, yeah, music was yeah,
that
music's
wasn't the
definitely
turn
the vehicle.
I was expecting there.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely the thing that like you think, you know, I want to live for this. You know, it's like I fucking love this. And that's the beautiful thing about music, I think. It's and the metal community in general. Like, if I got my first taste, I was talking about this some the other day. It's like I got my first taste of it. And it's like, you know, even all the history, and it was kind of like passed down. It's like, I think Geezer Butler said it once really well. He said, I mean, to me personally, heavy metal is better than like most other forms of music, because it's like in a football team or soccer team, you know. It's like you don't just like a band in metal. It's like once you have them, you kind of have them for life. It's like a football team in the UK.
Yeah.
You don't just be like, oh, I know, when you like Sabbath, it's like you fucking like Sabbath and it's a lifetime thing, you know. It's like, yeah, like a family. And you remember going to the shows and you just see his community, like, and all the like the rules that get passed down, you know, somebody falls over, you know, pick them up or something, or like somebody's whiteying in the corner, it's like help them out, you know. It's like it was real caring, even though it's like all this violent heavy music and people getting smashed around. And I just thought, yeah, this is it. You know, it's like, I want to live for this. And like, sorry, I got a bit of a ramble, but that definitely gave me the focus to think, you know, you just desperately want to get out of your town because it's just a dead end. And like, rather than getting off your head to go on a holiday, you know, you think, nah, I'll do music. I'll make a band. You know, it gives you the focus and the sort of will to pour all your feelings into it. And it's got something positive you can do with other people and get you out of like the place you're in, you know.
Yeah, it's relatable as well. You know what I mean? You're not going to, like, somebody's not going to wake up and turn into like this bubblegum pop star, but you can relate. You can relate to a struggle, and you can relate from being to a small town, and you can relate to, you know, just being with your friends, hanging out, listening to good music.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. That's good stuff. All right. Let me ask you it this way. What are some things you like to do maybe in your downtime that are not music related? Like, what are some other things? Like,
yeah, I mean, so I'm like really into like the keep fitness thing now, because like I also like it can be a bit of an occupational hazard sometimes, like the lifestyle of rock and roll. So like I kind of packed it that side of it in like a couple years back, and I just went clean. And I kind of discovered on a tour, actually by accident, somebody introduced me to rock climbing. So I just fucking love that. So maybe I'm just like trying to get my kicks in another way, trying to get my thrills in some
rock
other
climbing,
way.
Dude, that's metal, man. That is metal. Rock climbing is metal, man.
Oh, cheers, brother. Yeah. So I fucking love that. Yeah, I guess. Must be addicted to adrenaline or something. At least it's like kind of. At least it's a bit. Sometimes I think it's healthier for my body. I don't think my fingers agree sometimes.
Gotcha,
yeah.
That's
so.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's
I love rock climbing.
That's a good thing to learn. That's cool, man. So I guess wrapping up, I appreciate you so much, man. This is absolutely awesome. You're the best. Tell people where they can keep in touch with what you guys have going on, where they can hear the music, the best places to buy some merch, just learn about you guys.
Yeah, thanks, man. Probably the easiest answer is the one-stop shop for everything is just the website. If you just go to pastthefool.com, simple as that. If you want it even easier, just punch our name into Google. We will pop up and all the things. And, you know, whatever your, you know, poison of choice is, we're there, like Spotify or, you know, Apple Music or thing. But, yeah, the website's kind of cool because when you buy the merch, you know, all the money goes to us. But, yeah, man.
That's awesome. So, like I said, we're going to be playing that song Beholden. It's so freaking awesome. It's everything. It's brutal. It's hardcore. It's fast. It's fun. It's everything. It's awesome, man. But this was Will of the band Past the Fall joining me. The absolute, I mean, you've seen it right here. The guy's cool as shit. Awesome guy. I'm going to stay in touch with you, and you are 100% welcome back on the show anytime.
Oh, thank you, man. It's an honor. Seriously.
Looking forward
to
the next album. Yeah, man. And wrap up all these things by saying, stay metal.
Fuck yeah.